Hey mama, I want to invite you to something. I am hosting a free anger management bootcamp on the podcast May 6th through the 10th. Monday through Friday, there will be a new episode released teaching you where anger comes from and what goes on in your brain when you feel intense feelings, how to lower your stress and increase capacity levels as a mom, how to shift your mindset to align your actions with the mom that you want to be, and how to break generational anger patterns. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a day and sign up using the link in the show notes so you can get access to the episodes as soon as they drop and an email summary of the daily trainings, as well as access to a live Q&A call on the last day of the bootcamp. Invite one or three of your mama friends so they can learn how to manage their emotions well too. Link to sign up is in the show notes. I can't wait to see you in there. Let's get back into this podcast episode. Before we jump into the episode, what I want you to know is that I have an amazing resource that I put together for you, and it is 5 steps to break free from mom rage shame. If you've been in this podcast space for a little while, I know that you're struggling with mom rage, and that's why you keep listening to these episodes. You're trying to figure out, what can I do to make things better? Well, if you are struggling with that and you feel like at the end of the night you're the worst mom in the world, your kids are gonna hate you, your relationships are ruined and doomed for the rest of your life with your kiddos, you're not even meant to be a mom, if those thoughts consume your mind, I would encourage you to download my free training. And it comes with a workbook that you get to go through as you watch the training and reflect on what's going on and how you can overcome the mom rage shame. The link is in the show notes. I'm so excited for you to get your hands on this resource. I will guide you step by step along the way. Now, I want to introduce to you Brittany. Brittany has been on my show before, and we will be talking about what to do when you're drowning in overwhelm. Like, what are the steps to get out of that? And she will be mentioning 3 things in this podcast episode. Without further ado, welcome Brittany to the show. Hey, mama, welcome back to Emotionally Healthy Legacy. Today I have a guest with us. Her name is Brittany. And Brittany was actually my first guest on Emotionally Healthy Legacy like a year and a half. And I will link in the show notes the episode we had there. And she shared her story about how she struggled with depression and how she was able to overcome that with a lot of like mindset shifts and healthy habits and changing her life that way versus, you know, maybe some of the other traditional ways people cope with depression. And now she became a coach for moms. She helps moms with mindset and moms that are struggling with like also overwhelm and negative thoughts and feel like they're drowning a little bit in motherhood. So today we're going to be talking about, where do you start when you feel like you're drowning in mom life? Because Brittany relates, she has 3 young boys. I have 3 boys, 11 and under, and a baby girl. So we've both been there. So this is what we'll be talking about. So Brittany, welcome. I am so glad that you're here today.
Hey, it's so glad to be back. My goodness, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago. And yet it seems like it was a lifetime ago that we last recorded like this together for your podcast. Yeah. So I am Brittany Clarkson. I help moms through their overwhelm, their stress. I'm the host of Meant to Bloom podcast. And I firmly believe that we are meant to bloom, and so much feels heavy and it feels like we're buried so often. And I think we need to be there sometimes.
Yeah. And we don't have to stay there though, right? We don't need to stay in there. It's okay that if you are there right now, mama, but you don't have to stay there. So before we get into it, I want to ask you an icebreaker question. What is something you've been loving lately?
Okay. So I gave this a little bit of thought because I knew you were going to ask it. Honestly, what I've been loving lately is I'm rewatching Once Upon a Time on Disney Plus. And like, I don't know, it feels like, oh, we shouldn't do screen time. I shouldn't be binge watching TV and stuff. Like, that's not a positive. But I think like what we watch really matters. And I've actually like, just honestly, so like, if I'm being honest, that's what I'm loving right now. Anytime I have a free time, I am pulling up Disney Plus and I'm watching Once Upon a Time, which, I mean, if you don't know, that's, it's a story that's like kind of retelling a lot of the old fairy tales. And so, I mean, just the little girl in me loves that. But there's such an underlying message of hope and light overcoming darkness throughout the whole show. And rewatching it, just, I keep seeing all these little nuggets of, you know, hope. Hold on when things feel dark, because light always wins against darkness. And I just feel like it's so relevant to like life. And I'm like, this is a fun way to entertain myself. This is so much better for me than watching like serial killer documentaries fill my head with fear. Let's watch something that fills me with hope.
Yes, I've done CSI and like Bones and stuff like that. But then they started to like frame the main characters and there were serial killers. And I'm like, I can't do this no more. I had to stop. And I noticed that it would give me anxiety and fear. I would like, I had a hard time sleeping at night. So that is actually like a simple thing, like a shift that we as moms need to be aware of. Just in general, humans, but like we're speaking to moms here, that what we consume matters and it contributes to our mental state. So if you're experiencing lots of anxiety, like think about what are you consuming in your day-to-day life? Like who do you follow on Instagram? Like what is your mind filled with? What do you listen to? What kind of podcasts? What do you watch? Because it really, really matters, because the content we consume, it creates these thoughts for us and like belief systems, things that we start to believe. And like, I'm sure you've heard of it. Like the five people that you surround yourself the most with is like who you become like. And so if you constantly surround yourself with negative media, negative stuff, like it's going to affect your mindset for sure. And so like, I just had an episode released today on my show as we're recording on March 8th, but it was about like how spending time with God, like you become more like him. You know how we say, oh, you know, spending time with friends, you become more like your friends. So surround yourself with good friends. And like, God is an individual that you can spend time with. And the more you spend time with him, you're going to become more like him. So if you want that more in your motherhood, you can do that. And that's like a practical, I think, actionable thing that you can start implementing today. So right now we're going to be talking about overwhelm. What do we do when we feel like we're drowning in mom life or so overwhelmed? So Brittany, what do you like, how would you describe overwhelm and what do you think contributes to overwhelm in motherhood?
Okay. So overwhelm, I have heard many times that like overwhelm is not having too much to do. It's not knowing where to start. And I believe that, but also I think overwhelm, we kind of create for ourselves sometimes by just not looking at the big picture. Instead, we're looking at every single thing that has to happen. We're looking at all of it at once as tasks, instead of looking as priorities and themes and like what's actually important to us. And I think when we get disconnected from our real purposes, when we get disconnected from our real priorities, we get really focused in on, I have a lot of things to do. I have to keep up on all these things. I have to do this. I have to do that. I'm the only one taking care of everybody. And we get, it's like a self-centered focus, really, thinking about everything we have to do instead of thinking about like the people who are important to us, right? Especially as moms, we get really distracted by like, I have to do the dishes. I have to do the laundry and nobody's listening to me and I need to control my children. Instead of looking at, I have a relationship with the other people in this house. And that relationship to me is the number one priority over how clean is my house? How well am I doing at keeping myself from appearing like a hot mess to everyone around me? You know what I mean? So I really think overwhelm is looking at everything that needs to be done instead of looking at everything that is important.
That is well said. And I think I relate with that when I think about like when I feel overwhelmed, it's always like, oh my gosh, I have this and this and this and this and this and this to do. And I'm the only one doing it. And nobody wants to help me. And everyone's resisting to wanting to help me. And like, I think like for me personally, when I feel overwhelmed, what helps is like when my husband steps in and he's like, how can I help you? But not all of us have that, right? Like, and I have to first communicate with him, like, I feel so overwhelmed right now. I feel like there's so much on my plate. I don't know where to start. Like, and I'll say that, like, I don't know where to start. There just seems like so much that needs to get done. And so like, he usually is like, okay, what is really important? And like, kind of like, he's the one that kind of like, you know, grounds me in the sense. And he's like, okay, what do you need help with? Like, what is something that like I can do? What is something the kids can do? You know? So for me, having that support is really, really important. So what do you feel like, where do we start? So if the mom is super, super overwhelmed right now, she has all these thoughts, like all these things swirling in her brain that she needs to get done. Like, what is the first thing that she needs to do? Because like for me personally, one of the first things that helps is to actually write it down. Everything that's swirling in my head, I need to like get it out of my head and on paper so it's not swirling in my head anymore. So what do you think is the first step when a mom is super overwhelmed?
Yes, I totally agree. The brain dumping is a big part of it. What I would say is like the first thing I ever do anytime I feel overwhelmed coming up is I breathe. And learning to like find a breath pattern that works for you is, it changes the situation. Because I have tried different kinds of breathing, like the box breathing and all types of stuff like that. And none of it like really calms me down. Sometimes it makes me anxious to try to breathe in a certain pattern. And what I found was the 4-7-8 method of breathing works really well for me. Except when I first learned about the 4-7-8 method, I learned it. I misinterpreted what it meant. So typically on a 4-7-8 breath, you breathe in 1, 2, 3, 4, you hold it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you breathe out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's mm-hmm. a really long time to hold breath for someone who like feels like they have really small lungs. And like the way I misinterpreted it was because I have a history of being a dancer. And so when I thought breathe in 4, hold 7, breathe out 8. In my brain, I thought that's 1-8 count. Breathe in 1, 2, 3, 4, hold 5, 6, 7, breathe out on 8.
Mm.
Yeah. And so I felt silly when I realized I misinterpreted that, but I had the conversation with my therapist who told me about it. And she was like, well, if it's working for you, it's working for you. Don't worry about doing it right. Do what works for you. What's actually feeling like it's calming you. If it's working, it's working. It's the right way to do it then. So I take a big breath like that. And I do what I call recently, like I've been calling it a cleansing breath. When I'm breathing out on that exhale, I am envisioning the stress leaving my body. I'm allowing my muscles to relax. And I'm allowing myself to believe I don't have to hold on to the physical tension in my body right now. Because when we start to get really overwhelmed, we start to get that anxiety, that stress happening, your muscles start tightening up. You start giving yourself a headache. You start, you know, clenching the jaw. And if when you exhale on a big, deep breath, you just allow it to cleanse you, allow it to relax you, let it go physically, let go of the stress, you can then approach the situation differently. You can then approach your overwhelm from a reset, you know. What is it like the nervous system, like a resetting your nervous system a little bit so that physically you're going into this from a better place?
Yeah, I relate with that. Cause like, let's say I am making dinner, right? And the kids are allowed and there's homework to be done and they're resisting homework. And then like everything just feels super chaotic. And I had that the other day, like, and so like for me, I'm like, okay, I turned off the stove, turn on some screens for the kids and let the baby run around, gave her a snack, and make sure she locked all the bathrooms. she loves to go into the bathroom and dip her finger in the toilet and put it in her mouth. It's silly and it's funny, but like, okay, there's a story where she did it once when there was poop in the toilet. Like, it was gross. It was gross. Yeah. Anyways, back to the story. Like, I had this the other day and I had to like remove myself from the physical chaos. So my room is pretty like decluttered. It is like, I intentionally did that. Like, I don't have much in there. So it feels more peaceful and calming. Sometimes I have laundry baskets, but most of the time, like, it's pretty decluttered. And so I was able to just, sometimes I live in Florida. Sometimes I'll be like, okay, kids go outside. In the wintertime, it's nice here. So, or I will turn something on because that's when they're least likely to interrupt me. We talked about it right before we recorded because you get it as a working mom. And I will literally remove myself if I don't have my husband to help out. Like, sometimes he works late or has a second shift. Like, I will remove myself and I will go to my room, making sure I do not grab my phone. Okay. So if I grab my phone, I really, really am tempted to just like escape. But since I love social media, I don't really have anywhere to escape. So my phone literally feels useless most of the time. And so I will just leave my phone in the kitchen. I will go to my room and I will close my eyes. I will lay on my bed and I will just take deep breaths. Okay. Just breathe in. And sometimes I'll tell myself, breathe in peace, breathe out stress, breathe in calm, breathe out overwhelm. And just like you said, like imagining almost like that stress leaving your body. If my husband is home, I ask him to take over if that help is available, and I will like brain dump because I need that to get it out of my head. But if he's not available, just even having like 5 minutes to just literally take some deep breaths and just calm your mind. Sometimes I'll step outside in the backyard because again, it's nice where we live, and I will just look at the trees, close my eyes, let the sunshine go on my face, and just like take a moment to just be mindful and just ground myself, really, to just calm my nervous system. Because like overwhelm creates kind of almost like a threat response, right, in our brain. And then that contributes to us easily being emotionally dysregulated. So, okay. So step one is taking deep breaths. Okay. What is the next step, would you say?
I would say to reframe the situation in your mind, like flipping the mindset, not just totally, you know, brain dumping comes into it and killing your to-do list comes into it for me. But before doing that, I think letting your mindset change as you're approaching the situations and to really get clear on like what your actual priorities are. There was one other layer to overwhelm that I kind of wanted to interject, and then I lost it for a moment. But there's one other part of overwhelm where we have all of these things that we feel like we need to do and we have to do, that we forget to question, that we have this question in the back of our mind asking us, nagging at us, and we forget to ever really confront it. But who are you if you don't complete the tasks? I think that's like a hidden fear that a lot of us have, is what does it mean about me if I'm behind on all these things I feel like I need to be doing right now? Mm-hmm. Who would I be if I could just let it go and focus on what's important instead? So I think getting aligned with your priorities and thinking what's really important in my life right now, is having my kitchen totally clean actually what's important at this moment when that's the thing that's stressing me out? Am I only doing it because I think it will ease the stress and overwhelm that I have? I think if you get grounded more, like for me, it's so the relationship with my kids. Like, I would rather have my kitchen be messy and spend a moment with my child where we are co-regulating and we are seeing each other eye to eye for a moment and let my kitchen be messy than to be in my kitchen trying to clean it, yelling at my kid to get out of my way. So in that sense, like, I've embraced a bare minimum when it comes to the cleanliness of my house. As long as my house is clean enough that it is a safe environment for my kids, then I allow myself to let it go when it feels overwhelming. And I say, you know what? I know how dirty my house can get before I need to spend a day resetting everything. And I will allow myself to relax and rest with my children, go play with them, go watch a movie with them. If I'm feeling overwhelmed and like triggered by everything, if I can train my body, train myself to just let it go and go live my life for a moment, then I can go back and I can clean up and I can approach it from a better place. And then I can be, you know, my goal is always to be doing things from a place of love instead of rage cleaning.
Yeah, well, I like what you said. How would you give us an example of like, how would you actually change that thought and redirect it? Let's say you go to your room for a second, take some deep breaths, and your mind is telling you, I have all these things to do. I have to do this and this and this and this and this, and everything is all on my shoulders and I'll have to do it all. And everything feels so hard and overwhelming. And I feel like I'm going to lose my cool and explode right now. Like, what do you say to yourself in that moment to capture that thought and to stop it and to redirect it? Like, walk me through that process.
You know, I don't think it's really something that can be like one and done in the moment fixed. I think reframing and really shifting the mindset, it's kind of like building a new habit. All right, your brain's in this habit of thinking, oh, if I do this, it means this about me. If I don't do it, it means this. You know, if I'm not keeping my kitchen clean, it means I'm a mess. It means I'm not doing a good job as a mom or wife. We create these beliefs in ourselves. And so you have to like deconstruct the beliefs about yourself, and you have to build that up from a strong foundation. So really, I would say reflecting on what are the thoughts you're really having that are, what are the beliefs about yourself you're really having that are tearing you down and that are telling you that everything has to be done in a certain way? Question those things. And I would journal through it. I would pray through it. I would go for walks and just reflect. And in the meantime, we mentioned before, immersing yourself, like surrounding yourself with the positivity. You know, you are the five people you hang out with. You are, you know, the five shows you're watching. Like, you are who you're following on social media. If you're going to change your mindset, you have to be conscious of those things at the same time. Start filling yourself with the positive thoughts. Fill yourself with the word of God. You know, you have to like overwhelm yourself with positivity, really, to undo these thoughts that you're having and these beliefs that you're having about yourself. Because you're not going to show up fully if you're thinking that, well, if I don't meet this mark that I created in my own head, it means I'm not doing a good job. You're the one who created that mark. You're the one who created that belief, and you're the one who can change it.
I know that when I listened to your podcast, you had a similar episode on there, and you talked about a mantra or a statement you repeat to yourself in moments like this to help you reframe your mind. Can you share some of that with us?
Yeah, I've got three pretty common like mantras and statements that I go back to a lot. One of them is one thing at a time. I get overwhelmed very easily. Like, I wake up with anxiety some mornings and it's just like, oh, my whole morning routine, it's just so many things I have to do. And I have to remind myself, well, it all gets done. That's the second mantra I have. It will get done. I have this pattern of waking up, doing my contacts, letting the dogs out, starting coffee. And if I'm letting myself get overwhelmed by it, then I was like, wow, there goes my whole morning. I just started my day on the wrong foot. A deep cleansing breath, releasing that stress and reminding myself one thing at a time, because it's going to get done and it will get done one thing at a time. It won't get done if I try to sit here and paralyze myself with the stress of I have to do all of it. We only do one thing at a time. And then my third, so it's one thing at a time. It will get done. And the third affirmation that I really cling to and use very, very often is I am already enough.
Yeah, and I think it's like, because when we are overwhelmed, when we feel like we can't keep up with a house and the housework, like, what is the thought that comes in? I'm not good enough. I'm not a good enough wife. I'm not a good enough house mom or housewife. I am failing at this. I'm not good enough. Isn't it crazy? Because I know that that is something I would catch myself even saying a lot. Like, I'm like, because I'm working from home, and you get it too. Like, you can't work and do housework at the same time, right? Like, you can't record a podcast and do housework. It's one or the other. And right now, in the stage that I'm in growing my business, I choose to do podcasting because that is what lights me up. That's what fills my cup. I feel like this is some part of my calling. This is what I'm called to. Well, that means some of the housework is not getting done, right? And in general, my husband is pretty good about not saying anything about it. But sometimes when the laundry piles up and I don't keep up with it, and like, he'll make a comment, and I'm like, the first thing that comes to my mind is like, I'm not good enough. I'm failing at this job. I'm not good enough. And I like that that is part of your mantra and statement that you repeat to yourself. I am enough. I'm good enough. Because I know that so many moms relate with that specific thought that, like, I'm failing. I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. And just like, yes, most of our thoughts are unconscious. We don't like intentionally put them in there. And most of our thoughts are actually negative. If I don't know if you knew this or not, mama, but most of your thoughts are negative. I think it's like 95% of our thoughts are unconscious. And I think, I believe it was 90% of our thoughts are like repetitive and like negative thoughts that keep coming back. And so, like, in order to fill your mind with positive things, that's an intentional practice. That's why, like, morning practices and journaling and reflecting and just even like getting in the Word and Bible and Scripture, what does God say about me? Like, right? Like, all those things, like, it is so important. Like, your mental well-being matters, because when you're mentally struggling, it will spill into the rest of the family. You know this better than anybody, Brittany. And if you like listen, I will link that episode that we did, the first one together. Brittany talks about her journey of like being depressed and how that was spilling into her motherhood, because you want it or not, it does spill into your motherhood and your day-to-day decisions and actions and responses. Like, when you're mentally struggling, anything else you want to add to like what else you would do if you're feeling overwhelmed?
Yeah. So the next thing I would really do is kill your to-do list. Okay. This has been like a year-long experiment for me. I quit keeping a to-do list for the most part for about a year. And it was really hard for me at first because I kept a to-do list every single day. And when I realized that my to-do list wasn't helping me, it wasn't keeping me on track, it wasn't keeping me focused, it was something I was training myself to distract myself from and then allowing myself to feel guilty over. And so I've actually renamed it. It was not a to-do list. It was a doom list. It was not a useful tool for me. So I have kept a to-do list probably like 5 times in the last year. I've not made it a habit to keep one anymore because I realized how just dangerous to my mental health it was being. And so the way that you can kill your to-do list right now, if you have one, is brain dump everything just right off. Make sure it is like a full-on, everything that's weighing you down, put it on a brain dump, empty that out so that you don't feel like you have to keep thinking about these things over and over again to hold on to them. You put them on paper, you're not going to forget them. Okay. And then secondly, we do a priority matrix, which you can totally look up. These were, I believe it was created by Dwight Eisenhower, you know, one of the presidents who created the interstate system and stuff. So I see him as a guy who got stuff done. I'm like, okay, if it worked for him, it worked for me. And so I've been using priority matrix for a couple years now. Priority matrix allows you to categorize everything on your to-do list as something that needs to get done by you, something that can be delegated, something that can be deleted completely. That's my favorite. And things that can be deferred for later. And I can give you guys a link to where you can find a priority matrix to print up, which actually I have one in my Stress Less Toolkit, which is one of my freebies for you. So I can totally give you that link, or you can just go to brittanyclarkson.com/stressless. And there will be a pretty little priority matrix printed up in there, along with a list of affirmations and some other things too, that'll be really helpful to anyone listening and resonating with this conversation actually. But then after your priority matrix, actually take everything that's on that. Everything you decided you can delete, really delete it, get rid of it. Don't think about it again. You don't have to do it. If it's not urgent and it's not important, it doesn't really need to be done. Okay. And then you're going to have things to delegate. Go ahead, incorporate your kids, hire somebody if you can or need to, get your husband to do some of these things, whatever it is, go ahead and delegate those things. And whatever you determine can be deferred, I just go and put it in my planner. I put it on a post-it note, and then I put it in my planner like 2 weeks from now so that I know those things are on hold. I'm not going to forget about them. They're in my planner, but I haven't decided when exactly to do them yet, but I know I can do them sometime in the future. And now you've curated your to-do list. You've minimized it. It's probably made like 5 or 6 things on it now, which is doable. 5 or 6 things on a to-do list. There was one interesting thing I learned recently about the difference between men and women and our to-do lists. So men typically will put 6 things on their to-do list and they will do 6 things. And then they feel really good about it, right? Because they did everything they set out to do. Women will typically put 26 things on their to-do list. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do 6 things. And then we'll feel like a garbage human because we didn't do the other 20.
Mm-hmm.
So I think doing this whole priority matrix, minimizing your to-do list down way small into something that's actually doable, I think is so helpful to do that.
Yes. Yes. You're so right. And I relate with, you know, writing too many things on my to-do list and not getting them all done. And I know like one of the things in your planners, like, I believe like you had like, what is your priority for the day? Like you can't have 10 priorities for the day. Like, what is your main like intention and priority for the day that you need to get done? And like some people just say even up to 3, just like 3, don't put 200 things on there and overwhelm yourself. So what would you say to the mama right now who feels stuck and like day-to-day overwhelmed? She feels like it's just spiraling with her home and her kids. She's just chronically overwhelmed. Speak to that mama right now.
So the mama that's really overwhelmed right now and you feel like everything is just heavy, you feel buried, maybe even under just a ton of crap, I'm going to tell you what you don't really want to hear is that where you are is important right now. And like, sometimes we have to be under that overwhelm. Sometimes we have to be buried. We have to feel heavy. Because here's the thing, I want you to hold on to hope. And I want you to know that even when you feel like you're in this dark place, a very heavy, dark place, that's exactly where a seed has to go in order to grow its deepest roots. And you have to do that work of shifting the mindset, doing the inner work, getting rid of the negative junk and clinging on to the positivity in order to spread your roots down and start growing taller, start rising up, breaking through that soil to see the light. And that is where you will eventually bloom. It takes time and it starts in the dark. But I believe you're meant to bloom. Based my whole concept around it.
Yes, you should go listen to Brittany's podcast. It's all about how you are meant to bloom, mama. What is one thing that you want our listeners to walk away with?
I just want you to hold on to hope and to know, like, even if it feels dim and dark right now, it's not going to stay that way. It is temporary. And sometimes that darkness is necessary before you're going to see the light.
I think you're so right. And I also think that many people that are truly doing well in life, right, who are truly happy, right? Like if you speak to them, they're genuinely in a good place in life. They all went through a dark season. You don't just have rainbows and butterflies in your life your whole time, right? Like we all go through like valleys and hills. And oftentimes in order to get to that place where we're blooming, right? We almost always, let's just say always, have to go through a hard, dark season that where we grow and evolve, what we learn, and it contributes to who we are today, because we wouldn't be like, you wouldn't be who you are today if you didn't go through that dark time in your life. I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't go through my dark and hard seasons. And that is what, like, what God had to lead me through to get me to where I am today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Brittany, this was so great. Thank you so much for being here. Where can our mamas connect with you?
You're already on your favorite podcast listening app right now. So just go over and follow Meant to Bloom podcast.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode with me and Brittany. She is such a gem and brought so much value and helpful mindset shifts that you can start implementing today. So in the show notes, there's ways to connect with her. Go press on the links, go listen to her podcast. If you found value in this show, would you please share it with a friend? Maybe you have one mom friend that comes to mind that you know is struggling. Please share my show with her. And until next time. Hi friend, did you learn something new or found value in this episode? If so, would you stop right now and share this episode with one Christian mama friend who has young kiddos and could benefit from this message? Word of mouth is the best way to spread the word and grow this podcast. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, would you please rate and review on Apple Podcasts so I know that this content is helpful and I can continue to create more episodes. This is really the only way for me to know that you are blessed by this podcast. I'll see you soon, my friend. God bless you.